every second matters, second day of each month since 2013. People have gone live to or have done things in order to bring awareness to what our Second Amendment protects. A big part of that is the live conversations online, and so we're carrying on here. So this is the first weekend. Back in progress.
last more than a year now, participating in that specific way, in Every Second Matters for me, I would have thought, I'd like to be able to observe, that I've had more conversations because of it. But one of the things that it's done instead of give me those conversations to reinforce to others, it's been a reminder to me that no matter, you know, no matter how many podcasts I try to be in, no matter how many articles I read, that there is that one day set aside where I think about my own efforts. And so, among other things, that's what I'll be doing today for my E2M.
Did you say that you'd gone back and listened to the first ones?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
That's something that I've intentioned to do. I've heard about, you know, a bit about the genesis from you, but not the vids themselves.
Because it definitely, you know, like, it's just an awareness campaign, so there's no real structure for tradition or foundation or publication or anything to it, so definitely interesting to see how people take it and run with it, spin it, or all of it, either individually or after picking up from somebody else.
Yeah, I felt free, you know, to kind of use it as, like you were saying, you know, like that bare, that bones structure, and then, you know, individual participants or, you know, a couple people in the group deciding, you know, if you got more than two, that's a group. So all those efforts get to be, you know, custom fit to whomever. Like my version of E2M, you know, because as I mentioned, you know, that's my specific participation is because of my locale. And so though I wish it was different, that's how I, you know, at least I started doing that after I began to recognize E2M, and I call it a holiday. That's a Second Amendment holiday every month. We get 12 of those holidays a year, which is a fantastic opportunity. Now, I used to, like, do a lot more hashtagging, you know, Instagram, make mentions. I guess I also should mention that I usually wear some kind of Second Amendment-related gear, a Second Amendment t-shirt, or, you know, a series of, any one of the series of E2M patches that I have, on a jacket or a hat, that sort of thing. So I do signifiers, but it is kind of it's more of a personal relationship that I have with Every Second Matters, the concept. But just in this group, you know, looking out there at the almost dozen people, I know that many of them, personally know that many of them celebrate in ways that are similar. I see Makoyo out there. He hashtags like crazy. And Barbecue's out there. I, you know, spend some time with him, you know, his program, and in conversation with him. You know, Foss the same way. Gary's out there. You know, so everybody, you know, once we have this concept, this loose framework that's provided, it really is up to us. Just like it is up to all of us to participate in the Second Amendment and its advantages and the fight for it individually. So the collective is E2M. That rocks.
So as we get into another year of it, without any kind of structure or strategy to it, we didn't build it, or the people that built it didn't build it with a growth or a ongoing characteristic or nature to it. So that means that it's died many times and had fits and starts, you know, and it has no goal. It has no, you know, point that it's trying to reach. So that part of it is interesting too. When you mentioned all that stuff, that's the kind of stuff that went through my mind there. You mentioned the other people that are participating in it, you know, like say it's interesting that think where it's hitting people, what they're getting out of it, what they're trying to take from and move on, you know, which baton, if there's a bunch of batons on the table, which ones they're picking up and carrying on, is that the way to say it?
Yeah.
So Gunpowder is saying, trying to get the kiddos to focus to make a video on why they think the 2A matters. That's interesting. And I don't know, does he think this comment is a follow-up or a continuation of that? More to let me know what areas we need to work on. Like she's saying, like, have the kids do a video, and then she knows what her kids' or point of view is, so she can do the mom thing around that, you know, to amplify and enhance or whatever. Or she's talking some conversation on that.
Well, I think they're likely related, not just if they came in a minute apart. And if they're not, you know, GPB, sorry for some of the presumption here, but I do know from a little bit of that I know about her, that she and her family are very, very active in making sure that their children are aware of the Second Amendment. good one. I myself don't have kids, but if I had the opportunity to ensure that at least those in my household at least understood the values, my family's values, or that I wish to instill, along with something like the concept of our governance and our Bill of Rights and the Constitution, absolutely, that's a good way to continue to get 2A done in 2022 and beyond. Future generations, I dig it.
Send anything out in the email. Did you get the email? Yeah, you had to, otherwise you would get this link. So, because I always wonder whenever I send it out with a, what do you call that, blind copy or whatever, that it probably goes to people's spam boxes or whatever, plus they're probably sick of getting invites to my stuff, so they just start throwing it away or whatever, but I didn't really put it in the email, but I talked about, I think I posted it in the description of this video, that this topic this week would be, or this month, I guess, would be, what can we do at SHOT Show? And I think I just mansplained a thing about the concept of, you know, we get together as an industry for lots of reasons and lots of ways, and, you know, a lot of things get accomplished when we get together, but we don't get, robots. We're not Borg. We're not getting together and down, you know, data dump or dumping. We're not downloading data to each other, right? And just, you know, figuring everything out that we could. But not that we would want to or anything. But you know, knowing that we're humans, we could pay a little bit more attention, I think, to when we get together to use those just more creatively, more effectively, more efficiently. To if they're able, they're able, but I like to at least put it out there. Half the time people don't even think about the opportunities that we have because no one's said anything, you know, they just never came to mind or whatever. So just like to be the one to say stuff sometimes so that it gets said, so that if there is an opportunity for somebody to accomplish more than just shaking hands or saying hey, when we all are efforting, often, you know, some people it's their yearly trip, it's like their yearly travel budget to go to SHOT. Certainly for some manufacturers and stores, this is their big, you know, their big push. So, you know, the typical strategy is to go there and talk about all the gear on the table or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the only thing we are able to do there. There's lots of opportunities, and without a bunch of people here who go to SHOT, we do have a bunch of people who understand what SHOT is, and often when you get a bunch of people who go there, they think they know everything about it, especially after they've been there a couple of times. So, you know, they've got some experience under their belt, so then they start to think about all the reasons you can't do stuff that people who have fresh ideas might offer, right? So, since we don't have anybody here that I'm aware of that's gone a bunch of times, any ideas from the folks that are, it says there's a bunch of people watching this. Be part of the conversation, right? It's not here to, I don't really do things where it's designed to be a TED Talks as much as a, what's the opposite of a TED Talk, where everybody just has a conversation, some kind of a BS circle. So throw some ideas out there. What would you think it's ready, you know, what is SHOT ready for? What's it about time for that we accomplish at SHOT Show as an industry? Knowing that a whole bunch of Second Amendment advocates are going to be there. Not all of them, but a whole bunch of them are going to be there. They're all going to act like they're too busy to do anything 2A, but when you put something easy in front of them, why would they not do it, right? You give them an opportunity.
I'm going to be very little use when it comes to the SHOT-specific experience, because I have never been. You know, my mind has been activated, certainly, for the kind of opportunities it would provide. And, you know, going back for just a moment, and not to distract from the SHOT focus here, the creativity that you were talking about, the when you get together in a group, when you are chewing the fat or just kicking back and kicking loose some of those ideas, riffing and throwing out some, you know, lightning fast responses to, well, what can we do about this? It seems like almost always when I'm engaged in those conversations, there are some great ideas. So, gee, maybe to start us off while the text chat catches up, because I don't have a heck of a lot to add when it's for SHOT itself. What have maybe you seen in your SHOT experiences where advantage was taken of the opportunity to dialogue or promote outside of the typical at SHOT Show the Second Amendment lifestyle or way?
I don't know of any, unfortunately, except for conversations I've had, and that's just with an individual. So there's no organized thing, and there's been no, except for just friends chatting with each other and, you know, the, something that might be sparked from a conversation among friends or the, you know, the, what you, the, all the extra stuff you get when friends who know each other from remotely get a chance to meet in the same town at the same time, especially if they're prepared and they brought anything to, you know, have anything else they might need, you know, a laptop or something, you know, so any kind of extra stuff that they would be able to bring with them on a plane. So, I'm trying to think. Okay, I shouldn't say nothing. In 2020, the last SHOT Show that happened, there was, there's part of SHOT Show is the floor where all the booths are. Part of SHOT Show is the shot, the media day at the range, which is like a shooting event the day before the real event happens. And then there's other aspects of it. One of them is the SHOT Show University, which is a whole bunch of different seminars and talks and things that, you know, allow different segments of the community or the industry to grow or learn. So maybe back in the day it was like how to get online or how to run an online store or how to do your FFL stuff or how to work with the industry, how to work with the regulatory agencies, right? So this, in 2020 there was a seminar on how to market your gun shop business to more, like a more diverse group of people in your area. So like reach more, I forget what it was called, like reach more of your audience basically. Like how to market the store better to the people that are there that you're not reaching. And that could be all kinds of different things with the new, at the time in 2020 with the new gun owner, which was younger and, you know, think of like Coleon Noir, like they're into cars and they're into music and shoes and then guns is a thing that they're into. Self-defense and concealed carry is more of a constitutional right or a civil right, I should say a civil right than a constitutional right in a lot of the, well, just speaking generalities, the mindset of the new shooters in 2019-20, but then now we have 2021, so, you know, a whole different set of new shooters, so I'm just clarifying there that we're talking those new set of shooters that were coming. I think in 2019, they would, you could have said safely, the new breed of shooters were coming from video games, because that was like the way that we differentiated them. They were younger, they didn't have a lot of real experience often, so their experience was with virtual, either through TV or watching YouTube, or playing with video games and knowing all about the different characteristics or abilities of these guns based on their virtual use of them. And, you know, they go to Vegas and rent guns, and they were, you know, making a real big impact on the community, on the industry. And that's what we thought new gun owners were going to be. That's what we, in 2019, 2020, for the most part, that was new gun owners, right? There was new people coming to the scene because gun owners are pretty welcoming and open, and it's a right that everybody has. So there were new people coming to the scene also. But that wasn't like the main focus of whatever you call like the new gun owner. Then 2021 and 20 happened, and that changed the demographic of all, at least what everybody claims to be, the brand new gun owners. But anyway, so that would have been the closest thing to something that was sort of 2A, and it wasn't so much, hey, let's talk about 2A as much as let's broaden what's going on at SHOT Show in more than just, like, into a civil right way instead of just a new thing on the market, you know, a smaller gun or a new gun with more capacity or a new optic on the gun or something or a new sight or something. They almost put no focus at all on the rights or on the organizations. They hide the organizations, and that's just been the nature of the show. It's just never been a focus on that. So, anyway, hope that answers the question. I'm not looking at here as we're talking, though. I don't really see anybody else who's offering any suggestions or whatever. So, anybody's throat or anything. If people don't want to chat about SHOT Show, we can chat about other Every Second Matters stuff.
Right, well, before we would move off SHOT Show, if that's what we do, the video game thing, that gem, I think right there, there's a great way to think about what kind of efforts could be made for the Second Amendment because of the changes. And we're talking about an industry show. So what is always going to be part of SHOT Show industry? It's going to be firearms and it's or related. And it's going to be those the distinction you're making, which I love, which is the civil right portion of it. So there, I'm going to be doing a lot of presuming here because of my age. But my guess is that it is less likely for younger gun owners or younger enthusiasts who are not yet to the point of being advocates, let alone activists, that any way that you can develop this conversation around that civil right, that's something that they take home and that lasts far beyond a new model introduction or the coolest, latest, whatever it is. So that, though that might be an interesting path, maybe it's something like industry tech that, once provided that extra perspective, does end up being the thing that is overwhelmingly the thing of greatest value. It's not the new, you know, round from some manufacturer or a new model feature on someone's 1911, trying to make something different or new in the face of something so old for us. That's an interesting contrast. And that youth and that new energy, finding ways to interact with that, even if it's in video games themselves. I think that there's a lot of unexpressed potential, undiscovered country, so to speak, in tech itself. And that's another limitation of my age. I'm just not as hip as I once was.
And that it makes me like, you know, one of the interesting things about the show is that 60,000 or something attendees are mostly gun shop owners or workers or purchasing agents from an agencies like cops or military or something like that. That would be buying any kind of gun or that kind of thing. It would be other manufacturers looking at each other's stuff, right? Or just, you know, somebody that's selling steel or Velcro or ribbons or metal, you know, things that somebody might need, right? So there's just that kind of thing in an industry show where, you know, somebody who's selling one thing is going to walk around and look out there because maybe they can sell something to another part of the market, right? Or maybe they can figure out a way to solve a problem that no one knew was a problem, you know, was holding something back. So it's a pretty interesting show like that. But at the same time, you've got the, when you were saying that, it was making me think you've got the different types of shooters or whatever. And if it's, as you were saying that, also I was thinking, this isn't the first time video games are not the first time that somebody, some younger group or smaller group or whatever you want to call it, like novice group, because not younger, but, you know, whatever, not whatever video game players are, right? Like not veteran gun owners or something, not long-time gun owners, whatever you want to say, but, you know, came to the firearms industry and gun owning through their interest in these video games, playing video games. Like, that's not new. I mean, video games is new, but the idea of bringing people in from other realms of life isn't new. I mentioned other things probably before that, but then airsoft and paintball are two that have also brought people in, and having conversations around the campfire, conversations around the shooting range while you're waiting for the targets downrange kind of thing, like having conversations at the gun show, you know, while you're just working around waiting for your friend to get done buying some ammo or whatever. Those kind of conversations would have been, you know, all of these airsofters are jerks, but, you know, at least they're interested in guns and they'll eventually buy guns. Or these paintball are weird, but, you know, they might get into guns and they'll eventually buy guns. And back in the olden days, that was enough. Like, okay, we got another gun owner. And then it was just assumed everyone understood the fundamental civil rights that ensured and that exercised, right? And that was a part of it. But, I got a fun hobby, but this is also, right? Like, this is also an important exercise and important right now.
Well, and when you talked about, you know, it being implicit.
Sorry, I'm trying to kill Russian spams. Okay, so, thanks. Makojo, I think, on him. All right, sorry. I'm running this on two channels, so just twice as confusing when the stupid Russian bot came up and botted all over the place. So, thanks for the mods for catching up. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you because all my speakers were going off at the same chat. I didn't know which one was you.
Right on. So, implicit versus explicit. I am definitely part of that generation where civil rights, the Second Amendment, and the one before it and the ones that followed, that was implicit. I did, at least for my very rudimentary understanding, mostly through, I mean, besides just the kind of osmotic transfer of things like Schoolhouse Rock, you know, the kind of ways that in our culture in the 70s and 80s I came to know those things. It wasn't until I was 18 and a high school graduation required government class. We didn't have civics. It wasn't until we were, you know, 17, 18 years old that we were introduced to academically those concepts. And so it was implicit. And now, going from that implicity to how we now need to be, I think, and maybe I'm naive about it, but it seems we need to be much more explicit about the Second Amendment, about civil rights, about anything that's constitutional. So much confusion, so many extra distractions. And I did not feel ill-prepared at 18, at 16, when I was a Boy Scout, you know, even a Cub Scout. I was ready to learn those things. But the tradition was not in my family for respecting, in particular, the Second. And so it wasn't until a couple of years, just a few years ago, where I finally took a full-on adult approach to what that particular civil right meant to me. And so trying to bridge the generation gap, can't believe I'm saying that shit, but between those who, I'll just represent myself, that implicit, I believe and understand, and I bring that understanding, but I think that sometimes now we have to be more explicit about what that means. What do your civil rights mean? What does your right to keep and bear mean? Not dismissing, say, we don't need to focus on the youth generation, I'm just kind of stuck there, or the more youthful parts of our culture, but that disconnect, not really understanding from where it comes or what it really means. And it's kind of just more, I think a lot of the times, and I don't mind this necessarily, that it doesn't matter what pathway you come by. If your interest in the Second Amendment becomes, well, why can't I have this that I played with in a video game? You know, what is prohibitive there? Well, why is it prohibited? Well, hold on a second, I thought I knew what this meant. And so then having anything that brings someone to a greater understanding, I'm going to be about that. I might not know how to get somebody there, but I'd love to be able to participate on those exercises. So, Chacho, youth, civil rights, greater context and culture. None of these things are easy to draw together. I'm going to, you know, ask the chat out there. I did it in text, but I'll do it verbally now. If you have some experience that would help to parallel what we're talking about here, toss it out there. This is a kind of, you know, E2M is also, because of these dialogues and these discussions, is a way for us to, like GPB was referring to earlier, she gets a new context for herself just by working in her own home with what youth and the Second Amendment and tradition, all three mean. So outside of any fresh examples, there out in the text chat, there are some new participants, and what they might know about. I mean, I don't want to just continue to DJ you, G, or the chat with some of my ideas about how I've gotten that done, or I think it might be done. So where should we go now before you get DJ'd to death?
Well, I appreciate it. I don't think, I don't know if there's a way to go. So, like, say we don't really have syllabus, table of contents, that was the word I'm looking for, an agenda for this one, but,
Well, then just briefly about Shad, I see Foss out there, and I think it was in Foss's early morning chat just today, where either he or someone else made an observation of not really knowing that Shad was more than just firearms themselves, wasn't just an industry trade show for them, but also was other things that were part of the extension of the firearms industry. So that's one of those things. And when you were talking about the kind of things that are available to you in with the resource of a SHOT Show, when you were riffing on something, some things that you can do, I was thinking, wow, yeah, if you're walking around and checking out stuff, imagine the opportunity for market research. So you have an idea, you're there as a small company, and you know what the big boys are doing, those with the advertising budgets, you see them all over the place. But what ideas in tech or in advertising itself, supply chain stuff, that's got to be huge these days, coming up with, like we have to, new strategies or techniques from being able to take full opportunity and advantage of things that we may have overlooked when times were, say, easier, or the pathways or the information was more direct or less distracted, sort of thing. So, yeah, the evolution of the concept, isn't even as we're experiencing in this chat itself, is something that its pliability is a huge benefit. There isn't that agenda. There aren't those rules. The syllabus isn't referred to and checked off in a box like quizzes and tests. Whatever you do, whatever you participate, however you do so, you're part of that. You're part of that game. You're part of the situation and the solution.
Well, and that's why I shot, because I guess, you know, depending if they're to sell hot dogs or something, then shot's gonna be pretty similar for you all the time. But if I'm there to watch the, like you just kind of said, I guess the evolution of everything. So that's the part that's gonna be interesting this year, to see how much of the industry cares to, appreciates, focuses on, like, addresses correctly the new demos, the new gun owner groups, because it isn't like there's gun new gun owners. It's, you know, what it's going to be making up the new gun owners is a bunch of stuff. And the industry's done fine with, I think, you know, it's done efforts and it's successful at addressing females and addressing CCW and addressing, well, all the different challenges I could go through over the years hunting and everything that we've gone through, except that the people that did all that stuff may or may not be the same people there. So, like you said, there's a lot of moving parts, and I think that's one of the ways to explain it, is that there's no way to really know what it's, how productive or useful it's going to be until you've seen it and got some feedback from others, I guess, after.
So when you talk about the demographics changing, you know, so regardless of the numbers, because there's like this kind of semi-annoying debate about, is it really 6 million, is it 8 million, how many things on the 4473, what are the real numbers, is far less important to me than, and give me some perspective here, because of my naivete. But is this not perhaps the most dramatic influx of people without as much of a greater context than any other point in time? There hasn't been a call to awareness matched with things like just the flat-out retail experience. People going in and checking things out, let alone taking the steps beyond the window shopping to actually becoming owners kind of thing. So is there another period that you could point to or have awareness of from your own experience that has this much? I mean, I'm going to try and stay optimistic as hell because I am. I'm trying to be pragmatic as well, though. Has there been another period where there was such an influx of people who came by ownership in a way that did not include that implicit kind of expression of our understanding?
Well, I guess, no, like World War II or something, you mean? World War I would be like maybe a, I mean, I don't know, the Civil War. I don't know if there's a way to know that, right? But I think what you're saying.
Yeah, so we're looking at 75 or 100 years, if we just stick with those two, and I'm good with those, absolutely. So if we stick with those two, 75 or 100 years ago was the last opportunity for people to make direct observation of the impact of a huge influx. And, man, I am loath to offer, like, social commentary on this as well. I'm just trying to stay focused and not go so tangential on stuff, but the optimism that I have balanced against that pragmatism is huge right now. I don't know what the hell to do with that energy, that enthusiasm, or that there are the provisions for, on a day-to-day basis, the ability for citizenry to not have the distraction of things, not have the constant distraction of things, like their actual physical safety. Are you kidding me? How unencumbering it is to feel confident in not being a victim or not having to feel threatened by circumstances. And so many of those out of our control. Participation as we roll around in society, we are subject to the whim of everyone else. The confidence and, I mean, I'm not going antithetical to the structure of every second matters, but it's almost antithetical to the structure of not just the Bill of Rights, but the Constitution, not to make the recognition that efforting for the greatest good has kind of been, at least to me, in my perception, one of the most noble purposes of whatever we want to call our social experiment, our government, experiment, all of those other things. So if at the end of the day, it's about people being able to interact with each other in the physical or the virtual space and have confidence in what they know, can do, and should be able to expect not to have to deal with. It's not about not dealing with infringements. It's about not having to deal with sometimes, that's the guess I'm trying to conclude here, the necessary distraction of modern living. If you can catch a breath and be confident about something, then you're going to be able to stand much taller for much longer than if you're shaking you're shaking on the foundation of your understandings or society itself. Greater understanding creates greater confidence. Greater confidence. I mean, I could go on forever, man. Stop me.
Well, I've just been playing here, trying to get this idea that I had to see what it looks like. I don't know if I like it or not, but I think I should have did it a little bit differently. But I just want to save it so that I don't have to fiddle with it anymore. Click that, and then... Well, so it kind of went a little bit from SHOT Show there, but... reading through the comments... Gone out to G23's wife, I guess, and I'm gonna get too personal there, but thanks. Always got people doing their things out there. Let's freaking remember that. Gunpowder says, yes, DJ, that's what I'm trying to teach my kids now. Granted, 7 and 5, maybe a tad too early to some, but I figure it's never too early to start. That was probably from before, and what was that? That was talking about Second Amendment awareness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's too early. And that's tough, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember. I remember you get a little bit of citizenship, is what we called it in Scouts. You get a little bit of citizenship in Cub Scouts, and then in regulars, Boy Scouts, when you're older, you get various levels of citizenship. They break it up into citizenship in the community, and then citizenship in the nation, citizenship in the community, and citizenship in something else. So community, nation, something else, I can't remember that one. Anyway, so they break it up into levels, and you basically, depending on how far in Scouts you want to go, how much you want to pursue it, you have the ability to pursue what you want. There's some prerequisites, and then some of them are pursue as your own interests go. By the time you go much of the way through Scouts, you end up going through all the citizenships. So when I think of it that way, like, for whatever, you know, that was how I was taught it, so that's how I think of it, is like, at what level of citizenship or whatever. So, you know, that basic structure, obviously it worked for a bunch of kids. I mean, I don't know how effective it was, but it seemed to be a way to do it, right? Give them the general picture, the big picture layout, and then if they decide to pursue it, you know, at least they've gotten the basics, they can go figure out all the details on their own. I don't think we live in a world where, well, I know we don't live in a country where people are obligated to know every little weird detail of our bureaucracy or anything. Like some kind of, I don't know what movies those are, but you know, one of those movies where basically everybody has to know every intricacy or something.
Well, and we have, and there are a couple of people out there in the chat I know as well that have a background or experience in scouting. And so what that experience was for me was that was a foundational thing in that it promoted, you know, it's social, it promoted civic responsibility Scouts or, you know, kids on the playground or whatever else, once we were encouraged to think about, okay, we are young citizens, what are some of our responsibilities? We didn't talk so much about the rights back then, because essentially what I see that now as, and this is in a brief retrospect, it was civic training. This is what this means. This is what this means to us. This is what we value. And all of those core values, you know, forget about any of the modern distractions, and modern is really only, I'm trying to refer to the last 10 or 15 years. Did anybody have any real complaint about that sort of thing? I don't remember that being the case. I mean, nobody thought that, you know, understanding how young people, through whatever means, could participate more actively and completely in our culture, in our society? Hell yeah. Yeah.
No, hell yeah. Yeah, there was resistance to that. Well, at least in the Scouts, for sure, because people would think of it as like little Nazi, what do you call that, Nazi youth or something. Like,
I suppose maybe because
of the, you know, pledge to the state and that stuff. And it's pretty close to that. I mean, I thought they made it for me, at least, you know, our people that were involved with us made it clear that we're appreciative of what the system works to provide, what the system does, and what we can use with the system, but we're not worshiping, we're appreciative of the system. We honor the people that used it well, and we live our lives, right? Like, those are three different things. Not like the system is perfect, that we worship it, and anybody who just is disrespects it is, you know, guilty or something. It's not like that. Where I think that's more like your Nazi stuff. Like, we all, you know, we're just here to enforce the will of the state. We are the state. You're the state. Get over it. You're the state. Give us all your stuff, you know.
Here and there, you have been, but I guess what I was trying to express there was, no, in my experience, though I get the, it's paramilitary, so I get that there are going to be people who are just like, no, that ain't cool, and that's not for kids, whatever kind of thing, but no one ever came sideways, nor did I know anybody to come sideways at the kind of civic responsibility that we're talking about, at least the education about it, being of service in your community. I mean, who's against that? And I guess that's the kind of, you know...
Well, and definitely nobody that really knows what you do in Scouts, like the service,
yeah.
The things that go on in the, like, stuff that nobody that knows what's happening is against it for the most part. People that don't understand it can think whatever they want, and then people that have been, like, abused by it, obviously, have their own issues, but that's, you know, that's like if you're abused at anything, you're gonna have, you know, issues from the start.
Yeah, for real. And so maybe just step across, you know, away from Scouting and bring in the school system again before we maybe move off of youth and either towards SHOT Show or E2M or wherever it goes from here. One of those things where the preparation or the understanding, you know, preparing by creating a greater understanding, the ability for more people to participate more fully, like in a completeness, understanding, even if it's not absolute understanding, if you get the basic elements of something and you're promoting that positivity, if it's education, if it's dedication, public service, any of those things, that isn't bad shit. That's the good stuff. Now, anything else, if it's in a uniform and you don't like it, okay, whatever. Can we please deal with the concept here? Because as we go back towards E2M and maybe the SHOT Show opportunities that could be taken, that could be realized by taking E2M to SHOT and anywhere else, that's what's more important to me. And I don't want to face all comers in that discussion. But I think that if there's, you know, if it's not going to be a tacit understanding, can there at least be the promotion of exploring concepts so that there isn't a lack of understanding? It's not even about harmony. I almost went to disharmony. But that's what lack of understanding creates. And to go to one of those old axioms, what you don't know, you fear what you don't know. Well, there's no reason for anybody to fear me as a scout.
Yeah. What are we talking about? You're talking about every second matters at SHOT Show. It can't even happen. Every second matters on the second day of the month at SHOT Show is
no, second day. Every second matters style opportunities. The dialogue for it. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know I'm like stretching way out there, you know.
Well, the problem is people that voted for that aren't activists. If activists go there, they're going there in one of their other roles. So it's getting it to be, making an opportunity, or whatever the word would be, that isn't like a necessity. Because there's, you know, in 2013, when Obama did 23 executive actions, different story, right? Everybody's an activist when everything's at risk.
I guess the kind of E2M activism or advocacy that I would take if I was at SHOT, those business cards. That's, you know, like everybody, that would be dropped on everybody's table as I walk by.
Okay, then you can pick up. That's just technology rules. Well, $20,000, several, you know, $15,000 for a table.
And you're right, I get it.
You just walk around dropping off your own literature. Like, that's just not cool.
It might be uncool, but that kind of guerrilla approach is not something that I have, is something that I've participated in.
But it's also against the rules itself, so that
I get you.
It's really kick you out, and it's cool to do it because it's a capitalist industry show. It's not a comic con where you get $15 and nothing on the line. And even then, if you're screwing with the tables, if that's their livelihood, you know, potentially that is screwing. So, I understand guerrilla, but at the same time, I can see the role of the show and appropriateness of, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like the house is burning down. It's not like it's, oh my goodness, all hands on deck. Oh my goodness, right? It's like, you know, it'd be nice if everybody could pick up, but then, and it would be because we'd always be talking about giving it back. I mean, like, then it would never get any fun. So, I'm not going to advocate. Let's try to make SHOT Show a Second Amendment advocacy. But at the same time, if you got people that are going and you're going to be there for a week, it's ridiculous to suggest that it can't be any Second Amendment advocacy, right? But I don't think it necessarily needs to be on everybody's mind. If they're there to do their business for the year, let them do their business for the year. Get them in business, not being perfect about advocacy every second, and that's not necessarily perfect anyway. I'm not focused on advocacy, second isn't necessarily perfect about that.
Yeah, and my example there wasn't like a manifesto for guerrilla tactics at, you know, industry trade shows for the second, on behalf of the Second Amendment, or just the, well, how do you do something someplace where it's not about that? And I'll grab Walt Anderson's recent comment here. He says, glad we've noted the interests of gun companies are not the same as civil rights activists. And yeah, dead on there, man. And I don't mean by my suggestion. Say again.
I'm way back in the comments.
Okay. Losing train of thought. Sorry. Okay. So, the interests, the difference in the interest between gun companies and activists. So I wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to suggest that, you know, a way to take over on behalf of the Second Amendment so much as there are ways to have those things happen. Now, SHOT Show, I shouldn't have been using as an example, so I'm sorry for that distraction. But Walt's point that gun companies, as you're pointing out, gee, it's about capitalism. That's a capitalistic enterprise. You got people talking about, you got suppliers and distributors. Well, that's their gig right there. Anything else is ancillary. You know, they might have a great mission. It might be part of their logo or their corporate statement or something like that. But yeah, I get that it's not about that specifically. So they might boot me from SHOT kind of thing. And I wouldn't, I'm not trying to also suggest that I would presume that anything that I would be doing would be appropriate for anybody other than myself. And the suggestion that I've done that sort of thing in the past, I sort of have, not on behalf of the civil right, but it wasn't a commercial, you know, a more commercial thing, a trade show where, well, I'll be honest, man, didn't have money for a booth, so that was the guerrilla part, printed up a bunch of stuff, walked around and passed it out myself. Any way to get information out, I guess, and I just didn't have a more appropriate context for that when it comes to SHOT. So, and GPB is kind of asking, she's asking you the question, I think that you're asking all of us, how do we get SHOT Show to be more 2A and promote the 2A organizations within the context of something like I'm suggesting? That's not a good way to get it done. and I'm not really seeing.
Oh, so okay, I'm gonna go backwards then. Sounds like pretty close to the last one. So yeah, Gunfire's asking, how do we get SHOT Show to be more 2A and promote the 2A organizations? I don't think we do. SHOT Show has a role, and it's necessary. And I mean, how do we? The third answer to the question: want it, expect it, and expect it. Like, SHOT pretty good at anticipating what we want, without having to ask for it or anything like that. So basically, just expect it, and they'll respond. But I don't necessarily think it's. I personally think it would be cool. Is the mic completely gone? Stupid internet. This is YouTube censorship. It's not my internet. It's YouTube censorship. Am I back yet?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay. Never mind. So I don't think it's a bad thing that SHOT isn't 2A, only because if it was, then we'd suck. Still have an NFA. You know what I mean? And the fact that it isn't 2A means that we got room to work with. Like, we haven't used all of our resources yet. Again, said, it'd be cool if it had a little bit of 2A in it. And like I said, I don't think they're anti-2A. It's just that since no one brings it up, it hasn't been brought up. But if I'm, man, it's sure freaking me out. It's just basically my screen is blinking that I'm here or whatever. So I'm sorry, it's distracting. It's because I can't tell if I'm connected. Where was I at? I think it would be great if there was a real good emphasis on 2A. But I think it would be better if the emphasis on 2A was natural and not in response to an attack and not virtue signaling, like, oh, you know, we're 2A because that's cool today and it's a product, right? I'd like to see a focus on 2A because everybody's got their thing that they're interested in. If you're a hunting thing, then be 2A for hunting. If you're a competitive shooting thing, be 2A for competitive shooting. Then the rights of ranges and the ability to use other types of firearms in your competitions, and to have international people travel without issues, you know, all the different things. The thing is, we're never going to get CCW holders to give a damn, but really expensive NFA collectors have to worry about, right? It's just, they're just not in the same realm, so why look for something that addresses all that? So I'd like to see it happen at SHOT Show. I don't necessarily think there needs to be a mechanism to prepare it. I just monitor and see that it happened naturally. And really, we got the potential for that to happen because awareness of 2A has always been on an upward trajectory. Are you seeing my screen? Like, how weird Legit is? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you my screen so you can see just how freaky it is to watch the thing. Like, maybe it's because I got all this software up, so that's what it is. Just shutting off some of this, like, giant.
Run too many things at once, a man of many talents. Stretched thin.
My computer's not that much RAM, so I've got enough RAMs. And that's a software. Here doesn't count, but that last one runs off of the web. So it was probably trying to monitor everything on my computer or something. Is that better?
We'll see as it eventuates. So, like, back out there to the text chat for just a moment, if you don't mind then. Gary's pointing out something there that's also, you know, important for us if we're going to stick on SHOT. And he's saying the primary purpose of SHOT is industry trade, not even necessarily firearms. And that's the thing that I was like, you know, somebody was riffing on Boss's chat or elsewhere within the last 24 to 36, was there's an example of presumption. I presumed, I didn't know how, you know, how wide the net was being cast to the industry. I knew it was industry, but not exactly what parts would be represented. So, you know, my not knowing what goes on there, I'm learning more as it approaches. So this kind of discussion is helping me to understand. Now, Walt is out there again with something. He's replying to something Gunpowder Beauty was talking about. And I think, you know, Walt's working at, as I'm looking at a couple of those other comments that come after the one that I just referred to of Gary's, where he's going kind of more at the absolutes. How do you do this? Well, you have to go after these core, you know, these core things. Now, I like his identification there. How to get that thing into practice? I think that's a mighty, mighty task compared to just dialoguing with like some riffs and some ideas, some brainstorming sort of thing. But the chat's waking up Super, just steaming hot broth. Warming food? I could use some of that. It's cold here in Nebraska today.
Yeah, it is pretty cold. And I don't know if, well, I'm sure this is news to people, but it's expensive now. What used to be like $1 is now $2. So I'm going to be making soup out of, you know, beans again. Or, you know, dried items like the old way.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so not here, but eventually I'm going to borrow somebody's kitchen and do that. I'm trying to find, can you see the starred stuff?
No, sir.
Just live. Okay. So back before Gunpowder said, that's what I'm trying to teach Mike. I guess we already said that one. And then this one was, I'd like to use Reseam to coordinate auditors of First and Second Amendment proactivists. What the hell is a proactivist? Does that just mean professional activist?
I'm not sure because I'm not looking at the print itself, and that's too small for me to read, but I like that. I like it. Proactivist, that's kind of an interesting way to put those two terms together, sure.
I don't know what the proactive is the word, and then there's professional activist, so I'm not used to seeing that, so I don't know, I glitched on that, but I needed to coordinate, I don't know what monitors of the First and Second Amendment, so people that monitor First and Second Amendment activists, you want to coordinate the auditors, and I don't know how Restream is going to do it, but anything about that sounds good to me, so yeah, I think people aren't held accountable because nobody's holding anybody accountable. And if we're going to sit around waiting for someone to hold people accountable for us, that's silly, right? We got the tech, we got the ability. All it takes is a logarithm, like some sort of an equation, a hack, and then it can just be done by whoever, right? Wikipedia exists because somebody made it and now everyone uses it. Like, it's ridiculous. The only reason that we don't have something like that for the media, or if it does exist, the reason it's not well known is because we're not using it and passing it around to each other. But we can't expect the people who are being abusing us to tell us how to stop them from abusing us, right?
Right.
On us. And Walt says, it's a trivial matter. There are guns in the real world. Should we deal with the real world or live in a fantasy? So I don't know what that was in response to. That's the problem with things from before. It's 3:37. That's like an hour ago, so I really don't know. That was just after this one. So then you got Debo saying, what are this and save the second? So save the second is a thing, and Pincus is a part of it, but I don't think Pincus is telling save the second what to do. I only say that because everything I save the second recently has nothing to do with Pincus. So I don't know what Pincus is doing this year, probably whatever every year. Save the second was to the fire and offering insight and some narration. Christian offers insight, I guess, up to their, you know, awareness of their dad's positions and fights for years and then their experience with the different, I keep calling them waves, but, you know, we've had cycles, we have pendulum swings in all different ways, politics, climate, and wars, and political opinion, and crime, and all the different things that are kind of like pendulum swings in the world, years or when they all kind of swing in one direction, everybody thinks it's all going to end, and then all the pendulums to swing the other way, and they all look at each other and go, oh, that was silly, and none of us overreacted, but it was funny how everybody else overreacted, and then everybody's pendulums start swinging randomly and all go in the same direction for a minute, and all the same people panic, and then we'll do the same thing, right? And their kids see that panic, and they go, okay, so you can panic and be convinced the world's going to end, and then 5 minutes later, you can just blame everybody else and act like you didn't panic, and that's how you react to that kind of situation, and then they just repeat that, right? Because that's what seems like is happening. So, you know, you get a whole bunch of people that didn't grow up with parents that reacted that way or that moved here from somewhere else and don't see that as a reason to panic, you know, just get as a very calm sea compared to World War II or World War I or any of the other horrible things that have happened to this planet or that happened to this planet since then that we're just oblivious to, right? So, anyway, up on all that, but this happens when we've been here and I started DJing everybody. So, yeah, I don't know what the Firearms Coalition's going to do this year. I'd like to see them do some stuff. I probably didn't get the notification because I posted this like last year, like last month, maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago. I posted this a while ago. And when you do that, it sends out the notifications then. So everybody did get a notification that would be getting these, except you got it weeks ago. And you probably just didn't notice it because it might not have even been a priority type of notification. It was just basically put into the system. So today, when it actually goes live, very little happens in the system. It's already gets pushed to the top of some filtered lists for some subscribers. So just as an FYI, I don't care if you promote this channel ever, but if you're interested in something that's out there and you do appreciate it, you can always help whoever it is out by posting it on your channel to get that trigger to send it out to your subscribers that video is happening. And, you know, there's going to be some overlap, so you're helping out some of the people, but then you're also letting new people know, and you're telling Al Gore's Rhythm out there, hey, this is so important that other people are promoting it, so perhaps, you know, Al Gore's Rhythm not puts the original thing up a few notches or whatever, so always a good idea if you like something, if you appreciate what somebody's doing, sharing it on the different platforms is probably one of the best things that you can do for the logarithms, for the mechanisms behind it all. I'm guessing this robotic thing is from before. Walt was saying the Scouts discuss doing duty for God and country. Their civil liberties are not the foundation of, but implicit in, their mission. Yeah, I don't think they ever brought it up, only because, I guess implicit is the way to say it. Like, it was just there. It was a foundational pillar. I don't remember ever having specifically been told, like, you have these civil rights or whatever. Rob Pincus, they lean to commercial sales. I don't know what all that's about. Anybody that thinks they know what Pincus is saying needs to watch Pincus more. Pincus just says whatever he feels like because he doesn't care. He's trolling you. So if you're getting worried about what Pincus says, then you're being trolled. He doesn't have a position. His position is to troll you. Internet might work better without... Yeah, I did that thing. So, and it probably was the screen sharing on top of that really expensive 3D software. Plus, I was making a really complicated, weird thing. Swipe. I have no idea how much effort that takes. Let's see. Did a range video. Therapy. I don't know what that is. Sitting around in water? Imagine it's good for you. is that one. SHOT Show helps repeal the NFA, thus better bottom line. What do you think that one was? It'd be awesome if they got rid of the NFA. That would be awesome. I'd like to see that be a push, because then if everybody said, like, let's get rid of the NFA instead of let's go Brandon or whatever, then all the manufacturers would be like virtue signaling, oh, I want to get rid of the NFA. I want to get rid of the NFA even harder than the competitor. So, you know, watch us get rid of the NFA first. That'd be great. This is getting weird. I don't like just reading comments silently to myself, so.
I was allowing the catch up to happen, and I've lost track. Some of those are going back, you know, a good half hour or more. And,
yeah, that's the problem. It's going too hard. I've been not doing it right. The conservatives should be panicking. They sold their values on the open market. I don't know what that means. People who sell camping equipment, bows and arrows, hunting blinds aren't going to be interested in 2A. That's interesting. You're talking to SHOT Show. That's interesting. I hear you, like, on the surface. But again, if I think that if everybody, and Gizzard, you tell me, but I think everybody walked into their booth, who's going to be walking into their booth with, who would have walked into their booth with a Trump shirt, or might be walking in with a, the FJB stuff, that's bad examples, because no one's going to cater to that unless they want to go real political. So let's go something that isn't political at all. What's something that's not political? Like the popularity of 10mm. So let's say that everybody got sick of 9mm finally. For some reason, they're still stuck on the millimeters, but they're willing to go up to a more decent millimeter, so everybody's into 10mm. And that's not even all that far out of reality, right? Like, most people would take a 10 over a 9. So now it becomes a thing. Like, somebody on YouTube makes a joke, or somebody says something in front of somebody, and now there's some 10mm joke that's going around. And everybody gets it, and it's just sort of a funny joke. And everybody's wearing 10mm shirts at SHOT Show. So that could totally happen, right? Like, something happens and everybody's just wearing this shirt. Not the same shirt, but, you know, just some shirt that's a funny joke about 10mm. All those hunting places are going to be sitting there looking at that 10mm and going, I wish that guy would walk into our booth. I wish that guy would walk into our booth. Why wasn't she walking into our booth? And then maybe next time they do a show, they've got something about how they're 10mm duck hunting something or another. Wouldn't it be funny if a duck shot 10mm? You know, some kind of thing they relate to 10mm, and now they do care about 10mm. And I think that's what we've got potential-wise, just to see how the industry changes. And we've seen that with multicam. Nobody cared about multicam. That was some crazy college kid who came up with a computer camouflage that we don't even need. We already had, Woodland, which was perfect. We don't need anything else. And then, okay, multicam looks kind of neat, but whatever. We already have Woodland. We don't need anything else. Woodland is the military's camo. We don't need anything else. Okay, so some Green Berets wear it. Big deal. All right, so a couple of SEALs wear it. Now we need it. So where's this multicam, and how can I get it sooner? I'm going to start making everything I have in multicam, and now everything is made in multicam, literally. You get it in black and tan and multicam, and then they make it in the other camos. So hunting wouldn't have cared about multicam. It came from military, and nobody forced anybody to do it. But we changed the industry because multicam is better than other camos. And that's something that I've seen over and over and over. In fact, that'd be interesting for me. It would be an interesting exercise, because I used to use that same story with digital photography. Because you can do that same story with me with digital photography going to SHOT Show. At first, it was like, you can't take digital photography here. Okay, you can take digital photography if you got to have this piece of paper and this piece of paper, and we need to see these signed pieces of paper from these people for you to have a digital photograph from SHOT Show. And now there's sections of a $20,000 booth set up so that, like, you know, an amateur can walk up with a cell phone and take a half an hour worth of video streamed live. You know what I mean? Like, we've changed the industry over and over and over. If we had an insight or an interest in Second Amendment, the industry would be all over Second Amendment. If we insisted on no NFA, we wouldn't have an NFA. We just, it's how do you can't force people.
something like the t-shirt example that you use, or, you know, a campaign sort of tongue-in-cheek, you know, between 10 millimeter, you know, between 10 and 9 millimeter or something like that. Like, yeah, I mean, I think Gary's point is valid, but trying to find a way to, not a workaround, but a way to play through that. I like that, yeah. Gary's, yeah, I like that.
Play with it, right? Like, yeah, yeah. Okay, so you don't like 2A, but are you against 2A? You don't hate 2A. You're just not, you know, you don't think your customers want 2A, but what if your customers do care about 2A?
Yeah, one of those, like, do you really mean to be excluding such an important part of your potential customer base? You don't mean to do that, do you? And I don't mean to, like, set it up like that. There's so many ways
exactly. To say it. It becomes obvious, and it's like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
So 2A is a big pie, one bite at a time. The problem with pie is it's sloppy. Everybody hates it. It's always got fruit in it. It's messy. It gets sticky after it, and you can't put it away in the refrigerator afterwards. So why don't we say 2A is one big cake that everyone can share and enjoy one bite at a time? Because cake is so much better than pie. You don't have any of the problems with leftover cake that you have with leftover pie. And that's scientifically proven because there is no such thing as leftover cake. Everyone enjoys cake, so they just eat it. I will debate anyone on the notion that crying out on civil rights is enough and that big companies will suddenly care about you. I don't think anybody thinks that, but I hear what you're, I guess you're trying to say. Companies care about that money, I believe, yes. You have to control material resources to influence the industry. The industry will continue to sell LEO-only models as long as it's profitable. Your rights don't matter to them. Well, that's a pessimistic way. If you have never seen the industry bend over and coddle things, but that's cool. Left-handed shooters, women, things that are pink, things that are blue, 9mm, things that are stippled, things that are gold-plated, slippery, whatever coating that was. Things made from turkey, things that are shotguns that look like ARs. I could go on longer than anyone wants to hear me go on about fads that the industry had no interest in, but sucked right up to when there was any inkling that we would care about it more than about 5 minutes. All it takes is intent and a little bit of consistent, deliberate effort, and the industry follows along like the mechanism it is. So I hear what you're trying to say, but I do not agree. And LEO groups might also mightily influence state. Well, and SHOT Show has an opportunity to have a lot of law enforcement interact with the rest of the industry. When gun shop owners started doing the whole, like, see, those video gamers are not the newest ones. Like I say, airsofters and paintballers, they came along. I guess they're video gamers, but before they were video gamers, they were just posers, like, you know, cosplayers or whatever you want to call them. And when they came along, there was that, like, kind of attitude until they brought their wallets along. And then it was like, oh, can I get that for you, sir? Would you like to buy this one in this color also? You know, like, then it was interesting to see how fast some of these companies cater to the posers with money versus the departments who have budgets, because they own the departments. The departments are going to buy the top quality, period. They're standing in line to buy. So they don't have to, they only talk to the departments because they had nothing else to do. But as soon as the posers and the cosplayers and the stores that represent them came up and started buying out their inventories that the police were leaving in the warehouses, you know, that started to change too. But the thing is, again, I think just, again, if let's go to that 10mm example. If everybody was wearing 10mm, the boss shirts, you don't think that any of the cops would be like, hey, what's up with this 10mm? Let's shoot some 10mm next time we're at the range. Like, bring your 10mm from home and let's see what's up with that. I mean, that's just the way we are. That's the nature of us, I think.
The irresistible curiosity. Yeah, the irresistible curiosity. If that's something there and it catches your attention, like, well, what is that about? And that's a great way to have the impetus begin. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm just using that as a like tiny example of a way that by having everybody together, which is a truly unique opportunity. 60,000 attendees are, like I say, a lot of purchasing agents from military law enforcement, but then also purchasing agents is a fun way to say if you got a department that's big enough to have somebody buy stuff for it, right? But smaller departments, it's the chief showing up, it's the somebody who's, you know, of five people, the one who got picked or something. Sometimes it's all five people. So you can have a super, it is a super diverse representation of law enforcement there. It's not just the bureaucrats or just the chiefs, or it's definitely not very many patrol officers, you know, but there's some. Same thing with the military. There's hardly any grunts there, unless they're, for some reason, tasked with procurement, which happens. But most of the time, it's somebody who's in quartermaster, somebody who's in procurement of some unit, or a unit themselves who send people there. You know, they're dudes there to do stuff, like actual intel. But anyway, so you get, and then, of course, all the hunters, all the manufacturers, all the gun shops, all the ranges, like on and on. And then the media. So media is walking around with their heads in their clouds, but all those other people are there interacting with each other. And again, media is most of the time walking around acting like their shit don't stink, getting catered to by the manufacturers because they're so important nowadays. But they don't get on the bus and take a bus out to the shoot. You know, they don't get on a bus and take a bus out to one of the private shoots that only a couple of gun shops went to because media wasn't invited, right? And on that bus ride, what's happening, you know, a half an hour bus ride across Vegas with a bunch of people who are in the same industry but have never met before. Do you think they sit there quietly or are they bullshitting and having a good time? Mm-hmm. You know, networking and all the collaborations and stuff happen there. So, yeah, there's a lot of potential for cross-contamination, I'm going to call it. You know, like getting ideas across boundaries that just don't happen in this nature. You know, just don't happen in the wild out here on the streets.
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe at gun shows they happen. You know, there's only certain places where you get a cross of people to hang out together for any length of time where it's not just like a brief, like, hiya, you know, okay, I acknowledge that you're on my side or my team, but you're leaving the range and I'm getting to the range. We're not having a conversation, you know.
But one of the things that Gary is out there, he was elucidating his point, saying, my point was targeting SHOT Show for 2A advocacy can only be so effective, so it's not as it's not exclusively firearm related. There's a great example. If you're running around with 10 millimeters, the best millimeter t-shirt, maybe it's the guys who are, you know, in supply for anything else. They're like, what's that about? And all of a sudden you see that kind of thing picks up. So even by those kind of little surreptitious steps, if it was to be so well planned, kind of thing, I think, yeah, it does end up being more than just firearms potential at an industry trade show like that. And I'm glad that Gary made that point, that you've made further refinements to some of my, like, you know, more harebrained or scattered ideas about what to do, or, you know, trying to offer some kind of riff on something new. Because it's out there, and it is. Back to the individual thing with E2M, it's everybody's individual efforts, you know, part of that collective concept. Dig it. But Gizzard also wants to know, what kind of cake is 2A?
What kind of cake is 2A? Chocolate cake? Because chocolate cake is superior to all other kinds of lame cakes. There's punishment cakes, and there's cakes that are used for ceremonies and things, but chocolate cake is when you want to enjoy a cake and actually get nourishment out of it.
So when the NFA is finally repealed, how does the 2A celebrate? What kind of cake does 2A celebrate with? Does it stick with the chocolate, or do we go to something more like angel food?
That's up to the individual, I would imagine. However you and yours want to do it. 9mm people, some kind of goofy, slimy cake. It's got a lot of inappropriate toppings, like a lemon somehow. There's a lemon on that cake. Salt.
And you can only make it or order it using the metric system. Limitations for sure. Gary's in the chocolate. And so is Pat.
Like 10mm of cake. 9mm of cake, please. But all right, so I'm way behind. I am at 4:06 and it's 4:28, so I'm 20 minutes behind still. So with the prices going up, how much time do you have? Do you have time to make your own? Yeah, it's only soup. I'm thinking I might. It depends on where we go in Vegas. Some of the places I've been invited to hang out at are like houses, or what do they call it when it's a hotel, but there's a kitchen in it, right? Like that kind of thing. No, but I mean, like, there's hotels. They basically take apartments in Vegas and turn them into hotels. So it's like a long-term apartment type of thing. Anyway, there's oftentimes there's a kitchen. So I might use the kitchen in Vegas. Because sometimes when you rent a place, there's some pots and stuff in there. as a matter of petty Burgoyne, what is that word? Convenience. Convenience to most of the vocal advocates, the law-abiding citizen cares about nicer toys for their advocacy. I don't know what that means. What's he saying? Case in point, the Kramer pants over buntstocks instead of the police reform and welfare so the poor can legally acquire firearms. We focus on the symptoms instead of disease. When you say we, you're acting like all gun owners are walking in lockstep, so. That might be what some of the national level organizations are focusing on, but what do you want them to spin on a dime, like change direction immediately? The NRA is probably the slowest to adapt, and it's already aware, and it's reaching other ways. So the fact that they champion the bump stock, and if they champion the bump stock only, I guess I could see what you're saying. I don't know. Am I reading that right?
Can't be sure. That's been a while ago, so not having the line of context there. I think though that what Walt was doing there, and that if we're going to look at it as a presumption that it's all of us in that, I think more he might have been pointing to, the more enlightened kind of view that he's trying to pursue there is the smaller things that we're distracted with. Actually, that's like one of those things where not by attrition, but by this, death by a thousand cuts rather than a beheading kind of thing. If you want to behead the beast, you have to go after, and the point he was making earlier, you have to be able to affect those companies, you have to force those companies into change by controlling the components that company needs to do its business. So I think it's like the overarching argument against the, or idea against the smaller contributions through ETM. E2M, my bad. Can't be sure. I think he split. I think he said goodbye a little bit later.
Oh, okay. Well, he says the water's down the advocacy becomes a soft kind of civil rights liberalism, the kind that only the well-off could afford. See, I don't know where he's going, but again, we don't have one voice or one message or one anything, right? So that the beauty of the system that we've got is that everybody can participate, and the participation of many contributes to the sum, right? And it's not like it's add everything up and that's the answer. It's like we listen to everybody, we do stuff back and forth, people are allowed to change their mind, right? It's like it's not an established procedure, but it's part of the procedure. So I understand he's probably frustrated about something or whatever, but I don't think we all have to be on one message or one point. I think we're stronger when we have a group, right? Like a bundle of sticks versus one good wielded stick. People are answering whatever I was saying a long time ago. Let's see, I need 500 channel friends before I can share on my YouTube page. What? What's 2023 talking about? Sharing what?
No right idea.
So then Domo says, I will look for Rachel Malone and GOA here in Texas, see what kind of calls, emails they need for midterms. Rachel Malone is a powerhouse, and I do not think she works with GOA anymore, so double check. So look for Rachel Malone, and then if GOA is still on her side, right on. But check out Rachel Malone. She is definitely on Texas's side. The aquatherapy is for... Oh, no, if you're talking about the robot that spits water at you, I definitely do that. I do that as often as I can. I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Is super nice. It's hot water shot up at you by robots. It goes up and down your whole body, and yeah, it's really nice. Pink is playing 4D chess with Gross. I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Like, Pinkus and that dude probably know each other, but they're not playing some kind of game together. here's the thing. I'm pretty confident at this point, because I've seen enough documentaries on it, that most of us who haven't unplugged by then will be available for 2-2-2-2-2-2, which will happen at 2:22 p.m. Well, most of us will just be in robot bodies by then, or perhaps AI, some sort of AI platform like on a zip drive or something. Now we got Cryptek and a couple of others for sure. Background checks still kind of make me feel good, but knowing more that Lott's argument makes sense rationally, getting more 2A, we'll read Dan Wass's books soon. Let me know how those books are. I have not read them. Background checks shouldn't make you feel good. Background checks should make you question if you want a government that knows so much about everyone that it knows if you're good or bad. It knows if everyone is good or bad. That's scarier than Santa. My point was targeting gun. Oh, you already said that. For sure. And I can tell you, in my time going to SHOT Show, like, it has definitely changed, like, a millionfold. I'd rather see it change faster and, you know, so that we can start having fun with what's going to, you know, the tools we'll have after a change, but it's definitely changing. AR pistols are fun, which are close to SBR. Silencers. Save ears. I'd love to handle an SBS. SBRs are wonderful for home defense. Keep pushing those messages to us newly converted. Right on. So here's the thing about, I hate shotguns. Like, I don't like shotguns at all because shotguns are stupid. However, SBSs can change my mind. Something like a magazine-fed 410 Serbu could change my mind, especially if it's something like a helical mag, like a Bison or a Calico, but nobody makes anything like that because shotgun people are willing to buy garbage, so they keep making garbage shotguns. But once you start playing with modifying tiny shotguns, now they get way more useful. For old people, canes and shotguns seem like the NFA is anti-old people, right?
And firm as well, because actually sometimes I do prefer to sally forth with a cane for assistance. So I want my cane gun. And I'm younger than retired.
Everybody who decides it's a good idea to go mess with somebody in a walker would stop that if the walker was a four-barrel defense.
For real.
I can tell you from personal experience that some people that hunt are pro-2A, but others are only concerned with the guns that they hunt with, and that's all they will ever use them for. Yeah, for sure. Just like car people, right? Like, some people care about their car, and some people put gas in it, and anything else is a massive frustration for them. Like, they're just not interested. It's just they want to magically get from here to there, and the car is the closest thing they've got, right? You can't expect them to give a crap about the history of cars or how cool model of cars. Like, there's no obligation for that. So some of us, it's tough to understand how somebody can just be like, oh yeah, I own this really cool CZ blah 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 9mm gun, because they just, you know, they don't care about their property the same way as other people do. Let's see, bump stock meant Chevron deference to me. What does that mean? To considering what the ATF gets to do, so it could fight. Something got lost in the spelling. Tolerance is key. Tolerance to what? What are we talking about? I will not tolerate a comment like that without any kind of reference. What?
I was just going to say, if we go back to Chevron deference, I think I know what that person is referring to. It's when... I can't say now. Chevron deference, though, it had something to do with through governance, and then, I'm losing it, sorry. Sorry,
I say it like that, I might have heard it before, but so it's like some legal thing?
Yeah, and it does have to do with, like, something to do with organizational structure, so, like, the deference part of that, deferring to someone, it's deferring to someone in authority. I just can't remember which way it works, whether it's legislative or administrative or where that fits in, but it's, you know, basically deferring to some other... Nope, I won't go forward because I don't want to say something that's completely wrong to an audience. So, my
saying it's simple terms for me. Leave me and my gun rights alone, but I do fight for my rights and talk to my government officials. That's more than some people.
Yeah, for sure.
And they say that, what do they say? You know, like one contact is worth five people, one email is worth 10 people, one phone call is 20 people. You know, there's whatever the scale is, whatever the trade in value is. So anybody that contacts the representatives is representing literally a bunch of other people. They understand that only a certain amount of us will ever be able to and get motivated to contact them or whatever. So definitely always a good idea to participate when you can. So did anyone mention about Jaeger? Yeah, that sucks ass. I saw that video. A lot of people hate that dude, but he's one of the most solid dudes I've met in life, not to mention in our community, but I'm talking in just life. That dude is a legit dude. That sucks a lot. And I don't know how many other people are going to get up on a video and say, I'm about to die. So you can say whatever you want, but the dude's honorable as shit as he's dying. So, yeah, it's messed up. Everybody's got to go, but some people. Oh, you're talking about the guy who wrote that book?
Yeah. I left that in the text comments. I didn't know if we'd make it to air.
Chevron deference is a principle of administrative law requiring courts to defer to interpretations of statutes made by those government agencies charged with enforcing them. Oh, okay.
That's it. Yes. Gary, thank you for that. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
But I'm having trouble relating it back to the original mention of that. But yeah, well, shitty, but it's also an advantage, because what that's allowing it to do is, I mean, the ultimate rule of law, does it actually have application as intended, and how does it come to be in conflict with something like an administrative agency? So though I'm not sure, probably referring back to ATF.
I'll tell you what, it's not common that I find something that I can add to Minuteman, so appreciate the heads up. I'll be adding that to Minuteman this month, because that seems like something that I've never even, if I've heard of it before, it wasn't brought up in a focus on Second Amendment. You know, it might have been brought up in some dumb lawyer garbage about something, it doesn't matter. But this is super interesting. And we have massive attention by lawyers right now. Let's not forget that What's-His-Face in Wisconsin brought all these lawyers to the, you know, to the watering trough because they're making fortunes. So they're looking for their next thing to dig into. So it would be super cool to see a bunch of lawyers attack NFA in six different ways and then other things in different ways, so that not only are we on the offensive, but now we have alternatives. Instead of being like, I don't like to support blah, 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 you can be like, I support blah, 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 because of this, or I support this and this because of this, right? Like, how wasteful and lame is it to listen to people go, here's why I hate this person or why I don't support this, you know, when they don't need, there's nothing to support that they like or whatever, or they have no interest in supporting the things that are out there. So once we have a plethora, like a buffet of attacks, like anti-infringements, like repeals of infringement, you know, then it's like, get off your ass and start supporting. Tell us who you support, because there's like 16 things you could be supporting here. You don't have to like all 16, but which are the 6, which are the 10, which are the 2, right? Kojo's leaving. We can end it now.
All the 2A's leaving the room. At least Maryland's 2A. Speedy recovery, man.
So thanks, Gizzard, for putting up that definition. So it says Chevron deference is a principle of administrative law requiring courts to defer to interpretations of statutes made by those government agencies charged with enforcing them unless such interpretations are unreasonable. So, yeah, that seems like that last little caveat there, super critical to this whole thing too. But so we have national level organizations and three of them claim interpreting anything is what you would call that. Like it's a problem with Congress, or it's like a, you know, it's an issue that Congress created, and nobody addresses going after that. You know, who's ever suggested going after the Interstate Commerce Clause? Like, what are we going to sit around using, letting them pummel us with that constantly, continually throw laws on the books and never go after the linchpin, never go after the cornerstone that holds all these stupid national laws together? It's ridiculous, right? How come we're not doing that? Anyway, don't want to get anybody excited and talk about urging people to do something different than what we've done a million times. Then G23, did he literally just copy exactly what Gizzard put in there? The scope of the Chevron deference doctrine is that when a legislative doctrine delegation to an administrative agency on a particular issue or question is not explicit, but rather implicit, a court may substitute its own interpretation for the statute that a reasonable interpretation may be made by the administrative agency. Yeah, we need to clear up the NFA. It's from 1934, for crying out loud. How could those people hated the environment. How could they have written laws right? The same people that wrote the NFA used fossil fuels and hated women. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can't have written the NFA right. Talking about background checks, I have yet to get a CCW. I refuse to pay my local sheriff to investigate me. I know that there won't be any issue with the background check. It's up to you. I don't know what state you're in, but unfortunately, is there inaction proving anything? I mean, inaction with follow-up, like a monthly letter to the whatever it is, your DPS or your sheriff or whoever it is that's your issuing agency. It sounds like you're in Oregon if you have to have a sheriff investigate you, because there's not too many states that that's the responsibility of a local organization, which is county level law enforcement. But, you know, if you're refraining from participating and letting them know why, at least that's letting them know why. But if you're refraining from participating and not telling them, then how would they ever know that they are infringing on you? Am I wrong? I mean, I get the position. I understand it 100%. People do that with NFA stuff all the time. It drives me nuts, because if we don't participate in the NFA because we don't like the NFA, how is that hurting the NFA at all? We have to be vocal about our disapproval of it. Additionally, I think. All right, these pauses are brought to you by DJ not saying anything during the pauses, so.
No, I think what I have like full faith and support for your suggestion about that. You know, if we don't remark on that, which we think is the greatest, you know, if you don't go after the biggest, if you don't try to slay the beast, why are you dealing with the minions? You're just going to be distracted with that. And I understand it's part of the way that you might, yeah, people think that maybe that the key to defeating NFA is to go after all the little things as if though rounding them up together and exterminating them one at a time as fortune or allowances provide themselves is, yeah, it's an incomplete picture. The NFA, if that's what we want to focus on, at least in this part of this discussion at the tail end of the program, is, yeah, that's the big one. That's the elephant in the room. So if you've got, you know, a nitro cartridge and there's an elephant in the room, why are you spraying everybody with shotgun pellets? Why are you going after the small stuff? Refocus and redistribute the energy for those who want to participate away from the distraction of the small, the petty crap, and get that energy focused on something else. Problem is, at least as I see it, that once you have that, well, here's where we need to lay our sights, that then it's just like, okay, well, how do we do that? How are we going to load that? Or how do we approach that? Or how many of us are on the firing line? Or who's got the backup? You know, that kind of thing. So then it just will kind of spiral back down and out. But that's maybe just part of the human condition under the paradigm of how we find ourselves being the rules and regulations, the law of the land, so to speak. But I'm totally behind what you're saying, man. Don't take my silence as being anything other than a lack of ability to contribute in the moment.
All right, well, we've been going for close to 2 hours. Am I about to cork anybody yet?
I haven't checked the schedule today.
Locked and loaded. yeah, so I guess this was the first Every Second Matters. I don't really have an intention to make Every Second Matters any different. It is what it is. However, I'm bored of hosting a room for nobody that shows up. So I'm probably going to quit doing it myself, let people do it if they want, and instead do something on a monthly basis that works towards doing some coordination and some archiving, some intentional record keeping, where there's too many things that are keeping us from understanding our place, where we're at, what we've got, our resources, who's on our side, who's not, you know, what people said, what, that kind of stuff. Like, we should have that stuff at our resources, at our fingertips. If we want to reference what some idiot said in a damn movie, or what gun they used in a movie, or what horse somebody used in a movie, we can get all that stuff in moments. If we want to have a conversation about what politician earns how much money based off of what fear garbage they brought up and how often they've done that situation, we don't have that available to us. And how long are we going to wait for that to become available to us? So that kind of stuff should exist. It doesn't exist. If you want to be part of the creation of it, I need help. If you want to participate in making that possible, support us. If you want to watch, go watch somebody else, because like I say, I'm not really interested in fame and fortune here. I'm just trying to affect change, and I'm not reporting on people's lack of it anymore. So if you're interested, there's definitely places that can use your help. There's lots of places that can use your money. If you want to participate in what we're going to be doing, I encourage you to jump over to our Patreon, over to our YouTube channel. Follow some of the folks that we hang out with. This has been a decent chat. We've had a bunch of people in here. We're having conversation and shit, but the lack of people jumping in and being participatory just shows us that Every Second Matters is exactly what it is. You know, it's a reflection of how people want to participate. And, you know, I don't need to keep holding up a mirror for nobody. If nobody wants to show up and participate, I don't need to keep showing the world that that's the case. So, everybody's welcome to do whatever they want with it. Maybe going forward, somebody else will consider it worthwhile to open up a room, and perhaps folks will participate in that one. But there's certainly things that we can continue to work on in 2022, and there's going to be a lot of people, thanks G23, a lot of people that are going to be discouraged by little garbage like that, and a lack of support. But I've done everything without a bunch of support. Waiting for support is weak. So, DJ, you got anything? I'm going to head out so that I don't miss the beginning of Locked and Loaded.
Right on. Glad to be here today. Glad to always participate. Since becoming aware and Every Second Matters in my own way and encouraging others to do the same. Got the links out there for anybody to follow out there. I'm going to encourage everyone among the others. Minuteman University. Find resources that are out there. That list of things that are the ultimate answers to everything, it's not on a single page. It's found in many of the pages, and some of them can be found at Minuteman University. Other than that, y'all, be safe, have fun, and not just on the second of every month. Carry your guns and rock. Thanks, G.
Yeah, have a good year. It's going to be fun. Things keep changing, and you know, it's not going to stop changing. You know, we're going to be going into newer and more interesting things. So the trick is to get a effective, easy to deal with algorithm for 2A, right? We're going to hack 2A, give our descendants a set of resources that they can use instead of a hard to decipher, difficult to understand, like gist of what we did and what happened, not like a deliberate, here's what we intended to do and here's the results, right? It's ridiculous. We wouldn't expect our kids to run a business based off a bunch of guesses and estimates and shit. We wouldn't expect them to run an economy based off a bunch of feelings, right? So why are we expecting 2A to just happen because a bunch of people have goodwill or whatever? So gonna affect it. So thanks again for Pat for offer to jump in. I don't really care about having like a room full of people. I wanted to see some people from different realms. I don't care who shows up, but I'd like to see a chick show up, right? I'd like to see a competition shooter show up once in a while, a hunter show up, so that we get some cross-contamination in here, so that we get some different ideas. If we think it's awesome to do something as Second Amendment advocates and we find out that hunters are, you know, have a distaste for the whole concept, then what point was it spending all that time other than as an exercise? I've spent years with those kind of exercises only to discover that because we didn't have enough participation, that it was, you know, fruitless. And there's just no need to double down on that. So we'll see what happens in the future here with these. But again, there's no, it's not like Every Second Matters to go anywhere. I'm just saying I'm not going to try to rebrand Every Second Matters. I appreciate that. I'm talking like somebody who's a competition shooter who's like Micklick or somebody, like, you know, that comes to the table and is like, hey, look, here's what I'm bringing to the table. Let's change things. I was trying to create rooms for that kind of stuff. But somebody else could do that, right? If that's necessary. Maybe it's not necessary. Maybe it can all be done with texts or something nowadays. Anyway, so we'll see what happens with people doing it. I'm just saying I don't want to rebrand Every Second Matters. We'll keep it an awareness campaign, whatever project we'll work on. You know, it's already got, we've got a million names for those things. The effort is just we're going to move it to somewhere else. There's no need putting effort down on something that, you know, I'm not trying to force nothing on nobody. So spent the last year, 2021, putting these shows out every month, and pretty much got, you know, average response. You know, we had a couple of good shows and then a couple of shows that were just, you know, dead in the water. So